Well, if I say I believe in the resurrection, well, I'm here, someone will tell you. If I say I believe in the resurrection of the body, I don't mean, I haven't got the slightest interest in all this stuff. I just mean that I believe that God is God and God has made me a human being, made you human beings, and that my whole life, all its loving and its memories and its everything about me as a person will all be taken into life in some mysteriously beautiful way that I can't even imagine. That'll do me. And what else can I say? I believe, it goes on, concludes, I believe in life everlasting, and then there's an amen, and we've got to the end of the creed. I believe in life everlasting. This next quote is from the commendation at the funeral rite. So one day, please God, this will all be prayed over all of us. And don't let them, make sure you've got it in your will that you want a requiem mass. It's the most beautiful way, isn't it? I mean, you've all... It's very... I'll tell you what it's like as a priest. It's very sad when you just go to a gravesite. And sometimes you think it's probably the kids that are... I don't know what I think. But there's nothing like a funeral, a requiem mass. The silence of it. We do it well. Catholic Church, there's no one buries people as good as we do. Really. It's really quite everyone feels it and says it, and you need the quiet and you need this time and you need the space, and it gives you that, doesn't it, the holy water. And like, it's just people need time. We need time to grieve, and we need a sacred place to do it in that needs to take time. So stick it in your will if it's not already there, and if you want a priest to bury you, well, I'll always bury you. And if I'm dead before you, I hope you bury me that way too. Okay. This is what's said at the commendation, and it's quoted in the Catechism. Go forth, Christian soul, from this world in the name of God, the Almighty Father who created you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God who suffered for you. In the name of the Holy Spirit who is poured out upon you, go forth, faithful Christian. May you live in peace this day. May your home be with God, with Mary, the Virgin Mother of Jesus, with Joseph, and all the angels and saints. And then it goes on a little bit, and then it concludes. May you return to your Creator who formed you from the dust of the earth. Metaphor, mythical thinking, we're not formed from the dust of the earth, factually, do you get me? You've got to lay yourself a bit of poetry when you're praying. May Holy Mary, the angels and all the saints come to meet you as you go forth from this life. May you see your Redeemer face to face. And going back to something Adrian said in an earlier conversation here today, Therese of Lisieux, it's a beautiful story about her dying. She's only 24, she's got TB, and she's living in a freezing convent in Lisieux, and they didn't know anything about heat or what, so obviously medically she wasn't getting much help, and she was in enormous pain and all that. But they say when she died, and the records all kept, there's no doubt about it, she was completely weak, TB, and she, when she came to die, her last words were, I love you. And then she sat up in bed, which she didn't have the strength to do, for the length of a credo, which we've just finished. That's a fair bit of time. Don't know how long it takes to say the creed. Would it be a couple of minutes anyhow? It's a long prayer. That's the way they recorded it. She sat up with an absolutely beaming look on her face, looking beyond everyone, looking at someone. And then she just lay back and beautifully, peacefully died. May you see your Redeemer face to face. It's hard to believe anything else except that that's what she did. And she said she was going to spend her life in heaven doing good upon earth. Got one little experience I'll share with you. If I've shared it before, please put up with me. But when I was teaching in Haifa, which is now getting bombed or whatever, for 6 months or so, scripture, and then I was with the Carmelites, and one of the Carmelite priests and I together got a bus and went down into Egypt, because Egypt's the kind of place, I suppose, of all the places. I'm not a traveller. When I go somewhere, I go to the nearest library and just sit in there for a year and then come home. and don't buy coffee or anything like that. So I'm the cheapest person to send overseas, I can tell you. Because like travel doesn't actually interest me, but learning does. So in any case, but we had this break after the lecture, so he wanted to go, so he asked me if I'd go with him. I said, oh yeah, because Egypt is kind of like an extraordinary place to do. So we did, and it was just after some German tourists had been shot up, so I'm going back 12 years ago now, 1993, was it? Or 93 or 4, I can't remember, January. And so there were no tourists, and this was in the height of the season. So we were safe as anything, because we went in Arab buses, and we're not going to blow each other up. So anyhow, so we just didn't bother about it. So we went down, we lived in Cairo, and we lived in a place called Shubra, which is a suburb, or a suburb of Cairo. And in everybody knows there, that's the place where the saint is. Now, the saint is Teresa of Lisieux. There's a church there. When you go into the church, I don't know, 40 years old now, I think, built, something like that, there are Thanksgiving things all over the church from Muslims, Christians, and Jews, thanking the saint for some miracle of a birth of a child or whatever. I can't read, whatever they were thanking them for. I didn't look at them that carefully. And then you go down into the crypt, and in the crypt there's something about the size of this table and about as deep, and there's a statue in there of Therese reclining in death. It's just a statue. And then there's a little thing there where you can write notes, prayers to her to intercede for you. And these Thanksgiving votive things around the walls are all saying thank you for interceding for us. And I saw this beautiful thing. I was sitting and I was reading in this book, which is called The Last Conversation or something like that. It's the book written not by Therese, but after, in her final illness, the book written by her sisters, who were also in the convent, two of them, and others, all that she said from her deathbed. It's well worth reading. It's quite extraordinary and beautiful, because they're the last words of a saint, and there's a little book of them. So, but I was reading that at the time, and I was sitting down just watching, reading. And because the other thing was to tour and have a look at what's in Cairo, but that's me, I would rather read this book. So I'm sitting there reading this book, but I saw something absolutely beautiful, and I thought, gee, it was a symbol for me of what could happen today, by the way, in Israel. If only the Jews would listen to Jesus, and if only Christians would live like Jesus, and if only the Jews would listen to Jesus, the world would be just so good. Because here was this little scene, and if the Jews listened to Jesus and behaved like him, and if the Christians did, I think the Muslims would soon say, God, this is better than the Quran. You know, we'd have something beautiful being shown in the world. Anyhow, I saw something beautiful. I saw an Arab woman with a... what is it?
Hijab,
that's it. And a youngish looking woman, that's hard to tell. We always thought nuns were about 20 years old, didn't we? Because it's kind of hide everything except, and not having a husband, of course, they're much freer and healthier looking. anyhow, so we, the hijab. And she was there, but she clearly didn't know how to write. So there was a Christian, a Coptic Christian, and as I said to people, it's quite true. The Coptic Christians, of course, are the Jewish. They're the Egyptians. The others are a mixed race of Arab and so on. But the Coptic Christians have kept their faith, and Israel was a Christian in the first centuries, and they were the actual. They're a beautiful race, physically extraordinary race. The men and the women, all the men look like Omar Sharif, seriously, and he's a pretty handsome bloke, I'm told. And the women look like... I'm not going to tell you who my favourite film stars are. But they're quite a beautiful-looking people. Beautiful skin and beautiful features and that. And if you see them, you know they're a Copt straight away, just because of their features. I was amazed. I'm telling you that, and maybe I'm overstating it, but I think it's so close to the truth, it's worth saying. I could pick them, like looking at a crowd, and I was never wrong. So I think there's something in this. Anyhow, there was a Coptic Christian, Omar Sharif, leaning over her to write her prayer. And I was thinking as I sat there and watched it, if that happened out in the street, he'd be, you know what I mean? He's in a Muslim country. And imagine being, and they're very, private, aren't they, and very careful. But here, that could happen in this sacred place. There was no problem about them being so close. And the bit I really loved was that they didn't have a pencil. And there's a convent school next door, Roman Catholic convent school. Thank God for Catholic education in those parts of the world, and India and so on, because there's a lot more happening than we realise. And this little girl, little 10 years old, I'll guess, came up with her little biro or pencil or something and gave. So there was this three little, there was this Omar Sharif, the Muslim woman, and the little girl with a pencil. And there they are, she's writing out her little prayer to Thérèse of Lisieux. And I thought, shit, that's what Thérèse is doing, spending it. How would you expect a 24-year-old girl, woman, from Lisieux, who died 100 years before, to be having this kind of an influence in the middle of Cairo in a Muslim country? And it's just another proof to all of us. If we learn to love, we'd do a hell of a lot better than anything else we do. And we've got to insist on other people loving too. So there we are, that'll do. That's that prayer to receive, that's what I thought of her, see my Redeemer face to face.